Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome into the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa, filling in for Scott Marsh this week. Mr. Ken Martin Jr. from the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop. We are at the Ping headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. And Kenny, I had a better flight than you coming down, but here we are in Phoenix, and this is going to be kind of fun today.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put that one-year-old and three-year-old that sat next to me on the flight down next to you on the way home. So.
I suppose that's fair. You know, we have talked about the folks at Ping for many years, and the special relationship that Hagen Oaks has with the company. And Ping has been in business for 60 plus years, a family owned company, and that kind of goes along with the Morton Golf Group as well, because it's a family owned company, and there's been some synergy that goes between the two companies.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, when Carsten Solheim first started the company, he actually came and made a presentation to my father and Tom LaPresti, our original head pro, and sold us 1A putters out of the trunk of his car. I think we were the fourth or fifth account he ever sold to. And so when you're talking about going back a ways, it goes back to the very beginning.
We're going to talk today with a number of folks at Ping. The G430 is the brand new club of Ping Golf, and as every product before, another real winner. But we're going to kind of talk about how that came. How does it get to the shelf at Hagen Oaks? You know, the idea of creating a brand new club and taking it through the process. And I'm real excited that Paul Wood is with us. Paul is the vice president of engineering. Paul's been with Ping for 17 years, as with many of the people here. Seems to be a lot of folks that once they get here, it's hard to leave.
Yeah, for sure. It's you find many, many people. Our own rep in Northern California has been with them almost 40 years. It's a big, big family.
Paul, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
You know, we talked about the 430. It's an exciting launch that's happening really right now. And will be available probably in the next couple of weeks or so, I guess, for the public. But let's go back. I don't know, how far back do we go before, you know, when you started thinking about coming out with this brand new club?
That's a great question. The reality is it's kind of a continuous loop. I mean, we bring out clubs every couple of years, and it takes at least that long to really pull together a new design and develop it and get it to market. And so we're always thinking about what can we be doing to improve a driver, a fairway wood, a hybrid. And so it's just this continuous process. We talk a lot internally in Ping Engineering about incremental gains. What are all the things we could do that would make a club 1% better, 2% better? And then we try to add up as many of those and feed them into whatever the next launch is going to be. So the G430, you could say, started probably 5 years ago with some little ideas that were tooling around in the innovation team or the design team, and slowly coalesce into, you know, maybe more like a couple of years ago, 18 months ago, start to coalesce into what is this driver going to be.
You talked about the innovation team. I suppose, is that where the idea comes from? Is from that group?
Yeah, mostly it's where the innovation, where the ideas are at least worked on. I think, you know, we like to encourage ideas from anywhere. And not just within the engineering team, but, you know, the Solheim family themselves contribute lots of ideas, you know, just like back in the day when Carsten was kind of the chief innovator. We have ideas that come in from our sales reps, from our marketing team, but the innovation team are tasked with coming up with ideas, but also working on ideas and proving them out. That ideas are sort of the easy bit. Proving them out is the hard bit.
So then it goes to the engineers or designers, or what happens after that?
Yeah, so the innovation team will be working on mostly what we call proof of concept. So does this idea have merit? Can we prove some sort of physics benefit? Does it, you know, does it work making one part? The chief designer on a product, is their job is to turn that into something that ends up being the final product. And So they're an optimizer. Their job is to take all the best ideas that are proven out and find the optimal package, get that into, in this case, the G430 driver. And then we have another team, the project engineering team, whose job is to take that, run through all the tests we can run through, and commercialize it. So it goes through a lot of pairs of hands on the way from idea to market.
I would imagine there's lots of kind of whiteboard ideas that get to the second or third levels that maybe components or materials or manufacturing tolerances haven't advanced far enough along to be able to take in the market.
For sure. I think a good, for people kind of at home trying to visualize the process, a big funnel is kind of a good way to visualize it. You have loads of ideas, and at each level, some of them get filtered out. So, you know, some of them get filtered out on paper. It just doesn't quite add up. Some of them you try to prove out, and some of my best ideas, you know, you make one and find that you get opposite results, and, you know, great idea, didn't work. And then, like you said, a lot that would get to the, we can do it, we can make one, but we need to figure out how to replicate it, and we need to know how can we make a few hundred thousand of them. So at each stage in the process, ideas kind of get filtered out until by the end you have the one winner.
Are there concepts 6, 8, 10 years ago that the manufacturing advancements that have been made in actually producing products are now making them new ideas and making them available to actually implement now?
Absolutely. There's loads of things that we've worked on, and then you pick them back up again 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the line. I mean, a great example would be our new driver. The LST version has carbon fiber in the crown. Well, we made a carbon fiber crown driver in 2007. We did some good things with that. We actually found a little bit after that that we could make a better driver all titanium, and we did that for a long time. And now we've picked up the carbon fiber pathway, and we found a way to, for us and what we know, make it better. So it always comes down to what performs best. You know, at the end of the day for us, our number one goal is showing the best possible performance, and then we'll figure out how to tell that story and how to market it. We're always performance first, and then we'll figure out everything else.
You know, we're kind of assuming here that we're talking about the G430 driver, but this process goes on for fairway, for hybrids, for iron. It gets pretty complicated, this process, I'm guessing.
For sure. And then you add in, you know, the different iron lines we make, blade irons, our wedges that we put every bit of effort the same as we do for a G430 driver, our putters, our Prodigy Kids Clubs, our bags. It's a lot of projects, so it's a big team.
Yeah, how many engineers total are there at TANE?
Engineers, I think, is about 60. Like the whole team, you know, you add in some techs and some machinists and administrative assistants and all sorts. It's a bigger group than that. But trained engineers of one flavor or another, and I would include people like myself, a mathematician or physicists as well in that. It's a broad group, you know, everything from chemical engineers to mechanical engineers to biomechanics experts to lowly mathematicians.
That's a long ways from a 45 record sleeve that Carsten designed the 1A on, right?
So yeah, it is. And I think, to me, it gives an even better appreciation of how good Carsten was, because he didn't have a team of 60 engineers around him. He did some amazing things with a relatively small team. But, you know, things are different now. We have a lot more tools. We have a lot more data. We have a lot more products that we're getting to market. It's fun times. I think Carsten would have enjoyed being around now.
There's one new product in the G430 model that is dramatically different than anything you guys have done before, and that's a new titanium fairway wood. And I'm interested to know, from kind of the engineer standpoint, what kind of led to you guys kind of going down that road?
It's back to the performance piece that we had a long discussion about it, because obviously a titanium and carbon fiber fairway wood is not a cheap way to make a fairway wood. But it came down to, if we really want to get that spin down and get the center of mass down, but also get all the benefits of high moment of inertia, forgiveness, all the things that we hold very dear, that was the right way to make it, was to go with titanium with a very dense sole plate and use carbon fiber. And again, we would need to then figure out, well, how do we market and sell that? It's a much more expensive club, but that's the right thing to do for that customer.
When you think about the entire golf market, there's a lot of really good product out there. And, you know, you have the expectation that these other companies are going through the same kinds of things that you are, certainly in a different way. But in your mind, what is it that is a separator for Ping?
I think it's a huge advantage that we are a family company that cares so much about the product. You know, I think I really have two people I need to convince. As VP of engineering, I have two people I need to convince that this product is worthy of getting to market. And that's John A. Solheim and John K. Solheim. Mm-hmm. And they're both engineers and they both care deeply about the product. And that's a huge privilege for us. Right? At no point do we have something dictated to us from elsewhere. At no point do we have to make engineering compromises, or at least major engineering compromises for the marketing, the sales side. You know, that might make life more difficult for our marketing sales team sometimes, but for engineering, I think it's a huge advantage, and we can take a long-term view on things. And our benchmark is always make it better than the last one. You know, so at the start, you kind of asked about the concept of, you know, a new club. The concept is outperform the last one, you know, and then that opens up a whole world of different things we could do, but that's always the benchmark and that's always the concept, which I think is a huge advantage.
Fascinating. This is Paul Wood. He's the Vice President of Engineering. We are at Ping Golf Headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. Ken Morton is sitting in with me today. We will be back with more on the Golf to Go Radio Hour right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa along with Ken Morton Jr. We are at the Ping Golf Headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. We just talked with Paul Wood, Vice President of Engineering, and we talked about how the brand new Ping G30 or G430 gets to the market. And before we actually get our hands on it, the tour players have an opportunity, huh, Kenny? You know, they
are actually part of the process. They see it early, and adjustments are made well before it actually makes it out to the general populace.
We're gonna find out how that actually happens. Christian Peña is here. He is the director of tour players for Ping Golf. Christian, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
You know, that was an interesting comment that Kenny just made, that adjustments are made after the tour players kind of get their hands on it. How does that work?
Well, I think when it goes into, you know, there's a whole development of a product, and over the years, you know, as the engineers develop product, they come to the tour and ask us, you know, what is working, what's not working, and we give them feedback. And so G430 was in the works probably 2 to 3 years ago, where we're gaining information from our players on the range, asking them what they like about the current product, what they don't like, what can we do to improve it. And then here we go, fast forward to, you know, a couple months ago, we introduced G430, which is the culmination of all the information that our tour players have given us, the engineers putting their, you know, expertise into designing it, and then you have G430. And so when we talk about adjusting it, you know, when it first comes out, we do all our testing out on the range with player testing, whether it's good players here, our employees, Ping Man, we do all that testing, get the data, then we make an educated guess on what's going to work for our tour players. So we take it out there, let them hit a few shots with it, and then we dial it in according to what we see happening on the range. For example, one of the things we notice about G430 is it's a little bit faster than the 425, which is good because guys are always very concerned right now with ball speed. Ever since, you know, well, not ever since. Since Tiger's come into the game, distance is a big deal.
Sure.
And guys just, how do you get more distance? You swing it faster. So how do you swing it faster? You get stronger. You know, and so guys are getting, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they're swinging it faster, they're doing everything they can to swing it faster. And then the golf club will hit it farther if you swing it faster. But coming off the face, we all deal with the same parameters, the CT numbers. And through the design process, we've gotten it to where this driver is actually faster than the previous one by a couple miles an hour in general. So, which is really good. When first thing the tour player looks at, they go and look at their track man, they go, how fast did that go? And if it's faster than the one before, like, okay, now we got something. So it's much easier on the fitting side to get these guys to switch into the new product when it's faster, because they're so concerned with distance, and the, you know, all the analytics tell them the farther you hit it, you know, you gain all these strokes because it goes farther. Don't have to hit it as straight, and so they're all trying to bomb it. Long story short is we'll make little tweaks on the range with weight in the heel, weight in the toe. One thing we did see with G430 is it tends to go, it doesn't turn over as easy as the G425 with the tour players.
Mm-hmm.
So for some guys, that's great. For other guys, maybe we have to adjust a little bit more if they want to see, you know, it to turn a little bit more. But those are like the little things that happen, you know, on a daily basis as we're working through getting them into the new product.
For the recreational player, the weekend player, I want to ask you in a minute what that means to them, you know, what the tour players are seeing and what it actually means when they go buy it off the shelf. But what's the reaction been from the tour players to the 430?
I mean, in general, the majority of the players have loved it.
Yeah.
So it's got a different sound than the 425 with that carbon wrap that's on the head. It gives it a different sound. So it's just a different sound. Let's just put it that way. But the guys have liked it. And with the added ball speed, it's fantastic. So the majority of our guys play with the LST. So that's one thing where the ball does maybe not turn over as easy with the LST anyway. And so that's the case with the new G430. The great thing about Ping is we have the SFT, we have the Max. Those both turn over easier. So in general, I guess when I'm talking about from LST to LST, you know, from the 425 to the 430, we see it doesn't turn as easy, which a lot of guys on tour like to move it left to right, which fits right into their game. It's faster, moves left to right. We're like, hey, we got some gold here. And so that's what we've seen. We've probably got 75% of our players switched over, and the others are still working on it. But I think we'll be close to, you know, in the 90 percentiles by mid-year.
So for a retailer like Ken at Hagen Oaks, what part of that story is most important to you?
So for me, it's the kind of the selection process. You know, Ping has a massive stable of tour players. Not just, you know, we think about, you know, the top 10 and, you know, the Cameron Champs or the Bubba Watsons and all that kind of stuff. They have tour players all the way around the world. And for me, their selection process on what they play as a brand and what they play as a model is not much different than what the average weekend consumer is. Obviously, they're hitting it farther and more consistent and better, but I'm interested to know is, you know, John Doe, who might be playing the Korn Ferry Tour and is trying to determine what he's going to play for the next 4 or 5 years, kind of what their process might be like, because I think it probably somewhat replicates what the consumer is doing too.
Yeah, so our whole tour program is built around our relationships with players at a younger age. So we find kids as amateur golfers, even junior golfers, the top golfers in the country that we evaluate, build relationships with, we'll provide them with no charge product. Then they move on to college. It used to be college, but now that the USGA allows OEMs to give free equipment to amateurs, you know, just the competition gets earlier and earlier. So we, just like we do with our consumers, we try to build a relationship with the consumer and build brand loyalty. So we do the same thing with our players. And so we have a junior rep that goes out, he recruits players, he watches them all over the country, and then we have our amateur team, which is college, junior as well. They're constantly scouting kids. And then when we build the relationships with the parents, with the kid, start providing them product, and that's pretty much our model. Like Bubba Watson's a perfect example where we started supplying him clubs when he's like 13 years old. And all, you know, he's just played our club since he was a kid. And here we are, he's almost 43, I think, you know, and we're still a part of Bubba Watson Golf.
Yeah, in Sacramento, Kevin Sutherland is the exact same way.
Sutherland.
He grew up playing the product, and now he's 55, 54, and still doing it.
Exactly. And Cam Champ, he's another one from your area same thing. We got him when he's like 12 or 13. And loved our gear. We've built that, you know, relationship over time. And the majority of our staff players come from that program, especially on the PGA Tour and the LPGA. So in the same way, we're building a relationship. We try to do things the right way, provide them with a great product, especially like our driver is not only is it fast, but it's the most forgiving out there. And so the long hitters really love our driver because they can swing it fast and it goes straighter. So guys like we have picked up guys in the, you know, we don't do it very often, but we have picked up like Tony Finau he was always a Nike guy. But then Nike got out of the business. And so he was testing everything and he picked our stuff. And so here we go. We got Tony Finau on staff, which is great. He fits our brand great. And I think Tony will be with Ping for the rest of his career. That we hope. Hopefully Tony feels the same way. But we've got a great relationship with him now. Even Victor Hovland, who is not totally a Ping guy through his amateur career, but tried our stuff, liked it, has that connection with the Solheims, being from Norway. He went to Oklahoma State. We have a very tight relationship with Oklahoma State. So that one just fit. And that relationship, you know, has blossomed into, you know, something great there too. So I think that we do it very similar to how, you know, as we go out and try to get consumers to buy our product, we try to tell a story, build a relationship, build brand loyalty. Same with our tour players.
And Ping does it better than everyone. Christian Pena, Director of Tour Players, thanks so much for being with us on the radio show today. Continued success and good luck at Ping.
Thank you for having me.
We will be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Frank LaRosa along with Ken Morton Jr. Kenny sitting in for Scott Marsh as we are at the Ping Golf Conclave, I guess. You know, this is a really big complex here in Phoenix, Arizona. And our next guest is someone I know you know a whole lot better than me, so I'll let you introduce him.
Yeah, so my son, Taylor Morton, is one of the newest project engineers for Ping Golf. He worked for us at Hagen Oaks for many years doing retail sales and our eBay department and basically anything else a family member gets asked of, which is everything there at the golf course. But in May, he had an opportunity to come down and interview and is now actually designing golf clubs for Ping Golf.
You know, Taylor, I used to see you around the shop there at Hagen Oaks, and I remember you getting yourself a 3D printer and being fascinated by that. You were always, you know, two or three steps ahead of the curve. What's it like being a project manager at Ping, and how much of that do you owe to the training you had back in Sacramento?
Being a project engineer at Ping is kind of, for me at least, it's kind of come full circle. Working at Hagen kind of my whole life and spending so much time in the golf industry, and then going to school for engineering, and then kind of coming out of that and going into the project engineering role, it's really neat to kind of use all those skills and all that knowledge that I've built up in Sacramento and use that to kind of, to help guide and help steer the engineering projects here in the direction that ultimately to put a product out on display back at Hagen for sale, just like I used to sell those same clubs.
Kind of go full circle there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were talking at lunch earlier. You were talking about working on some of the new line of women's clubs, and then you kind of alluded to some things that you were working on that you can't even tell your dad. I mean, so that's one of the interesting things about working for a company like this. You know, you're working way ahead of what's on the market right now, and obviously some of that information is proprietary.
Absolutely, and I think like something interesting. I think at Ping now that because. Working at Hagen, I've obviously had these, like, ideas and thoughts about Ping well before I ever came to work for Ping or even had the idea of working for Ping. And just kind of getting, like, that peek behind the curtain and seeing, like, the amount of work that goes into products. Obviously, like you just mentioned, we're working well ahead of, like, when a product comes out, we're already working on the next greatest thing, and the amount of work and effort and tests and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours that go in behind the scenes so that when a product comes out with the Ping badge on it, there's not gonna be issues, there's not gonna be problems, all of that stuff. Like, as my job as a project engineer, like we're learning and capturing and fixing all those tiny issues before they ever are released and before they ever make their way onto a shelf.
You've been here just a little less than a year, if I understand that correctly, and you came from from Morton Golf that you know has a family culture, and you're here at Ping Golf, which is also a family owned company. Can you? Are there any similarities you see?
Absolutely. Again, it's really neat. So working at Morton Golf, obviously, I got to work in a family owned business environment. And then in college, I was lucky enough to intern at a couple different places and more corporate. And then coming here, again, like family-oriented and family-run, I think for the golfer, it's a really positive impact. Because there's things that, like, we'll do here that wouldn't get done at a normal corporate business. There's decisions that are made that maybe on paper aren't necessarily the most financial driven, but just because as a family, Ping is really focused on that final product being worthy of that Ping badge and having that heritage of what Ping means. And that seems almost more important here than necessarily in sales.
Part of your early trials here at the Ping Golf Club Company has been some international travel and actually going to see product being made overseas. Give us a minute on what your trip over to Vietnam was about earlier this fall.
So I had an opportunity to travel to Vietnam and meet with some global suppliers, which was super eye-opening. I mean, the world we live in today is so interconnected. Over there, I got to meet people who themselves were from drastically different places across the globe, and to kind of like have that opportunity to communicate with people and talk with them. Obviously, the internet's been around a long time, but it seems like something that potentially has come out of the whole pandemic situation is we're so much more interconnected through that globally. I mean, there's times I'll wake up in the middle of the night to take a phone call across the globe with one of the Ping employees or one of the suppliers in Asia, and just like have that conversation with them, have that one-on-one talk, and be able to work on finalizing and work on creating a product and development schedule and product that I think everyone here can be proud of.
You know, we've known Kenny and I, certainly Kenny more than I, but a lot of longtime employees here at Ping. And as one of the newest employees, I think, you know, certainly speak from your dad as being a dad. But, you know, from my point of view, the company is certainly hiring in the right direction to bring on younger people like you with the kind of commitment and professionalism that you have.
Thank you. I think I just am really fortunate, I think, to have that opportunity to come here and work at Ping. Working at Hagen has just always been such a positive environment and such a welcoming place, and this just is more of that.
Taylor Morton, project engineer at Ping Golf. Thanks much for being with us on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Back with more right after this. Frank LaRosa, Ken Morton Jr., along with Marty Jurtson. Marty is the vice president of fitting and performance at Ping Golf. Marty, that's a long title. What does that mean?
Well, Frank, thanks for having me. My job at Ping is to build custom fitting solutions to help our end golfer play better golf. And that's a very open-ended job. We build software tools, solutions, improve fitting charts, data analytics from on-course play, weave that into the design process, weave it into the fitting process. And ultimately, you know, kind of to build on what Ping is always known for, which is custom fitting. And our founder, Carson Solheim, put us on the map. And my job is to make sure we're still leading in that area.
You bring a lot of experience to the job. You were on the design team, or you headed up the design team for a while. You're an accomplished player. And you've probably been around enough of us recreational golfers to know how that all translates to ultimately, you know, the ones that are playing the golf on the weekends that that don't have the same kind of, you know, access to information that tour players do. That doesn't mean that as a recreational player that we're going to get any less of a fitting, but it's just that ours is a different experience is all.
Yeah, exactly. I really think my role is to empathize with the everyday golfer and bring all the tools that we have access to at the Ping Proving Grounds, which you're seeing today, as well as our tour players. They got the truck there. They got all the launch monitors. They could try trial and error all the different balls, heads, and shafts. The everyday golfer can't do that. So my job and the way I see my role in my team is to build those tools and make them available to our custom fitting network so that our everyday golfer can get access to that same level of service, but in the scale and the time scale and with the tools that are available to our accounts and end customers.
Speaking of accounts, Kenny, I can't imagine that anybody that comes in for a fitting at Ping is disappointed in the experience.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of beginner golfers, the common thread is that they're not good enough to be fit. And the reality is that the tour players, you give them any golf club, and within a couple, three swings, they're going to figure it out. It's the average, it's the weekend golfer that they will forever be handicapped by their equipment unless we get it in their hands correctly. And, you know, another misconception is that you only get your irons fit. And, you know, Marty can probably speak to it. Now with the hosel configurations and different shafts and different lofts and three different models of heads, I mean, it's literally infinite, the variations of different driver heads or drivers that you can put in somebody's hands.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the driver is a good one to talk about because it's where you can make a really big difference in the fitting to help unlock distance. So we do that through our head models. We do that through shaft. We do it through the sleeve design. And even helping a golfer not curve the ball as much will help them hit it further. Right? I think that's kind of an insight we're seeing with the tour players. They're curving the ball less with the driver, and they're hitting it further. So, you know, you can use things like our CG shifter, our SFT model. Now we got our, you know, a draw plus setting on the SFT or our new HL builds to kind of get the curve out of the ball flight and also find out what are optimal launch conditions. So we've done some research on that. And that's different for every individual golfer. Even the tour players, they're all not launching at the same window. How their angle of attack, which is how much they swing the driver down or up right before it hits the ball, plays a really big part of that. And that chart we use with the tour players, the same tool that you guys use at Hagen Oaks to fit your customers.
And even for part of the fitting process and the launch angle has to do even with where they're playing golf also, right?
Absolutely. Environmental conditions. And that's where you kind of marry in maybe, hey, you want to do your driver fit. And also possibly even now we've done a lot of research on golf balls, pair them with the golf ball to go with it. Right. And that's going to change based on their conditions as well.
Yeah. You mentioned the ball. You guys have a really cool software system. You guys used to be in the ball business eons ago, but you've been out of it some time. But you guys have one of the most technologically advanced ball fitting software systems. We've been playing with it a lot at Hagen.
Yep.
Maybe go into Ballnamic and maybe give kind of customers a kind of a sneak peek on what they can expect.
Yeah, I think the short version with Ballnamic is that we've always tested balls, and we saw some interesting things happening the last 4 or 5 years, which is a ball can measure very high spin when you first hit it. But out down range, and we saw this with our tour players, it would actually fly aerodynamically very low. And then there can be balls that are low initial spin, right when you hit it, the spin's low, but they could fly very high. And so we thought, oh man, you know, how can we help folks like you at Hagen Oaks pass along this ability to know that without going out and do the trial error of a tour player? So we developed an aerodynamic model for every golf ball on the market.
Wow.
And we paired that with the thinking. So when you go through Ballnamic, our ball fitting app, it guides you to select a ball exactly like tour players think about it. What do I need on the driver? What do I need on the irons? What do I want the wedges to do? How do I want to feel up the putter in the short game? And so that's kind of the short version of Ballnamic. But yeah, we don't have any skin in the game on on balls from a manufacturing standpoint, so we can just have the ultimate brand agnostic solution there.
Yeah, it's super cool, Frank. It's going to tell you, you know, that you're an 89% match for this ball and maybe only a 33% match for this ball. And so you can go out and compare all those high matches in your own game and kind of narrow it down for yourself.
And then you figure out whether it's ego or whether the right decision for you.
Or you blame Marty for the ball. So, yeah.
Marty, quickly, because we're running out of time here, but we've talked a lot about the G430 line. Tell me a little bit about the increased distance that we're finding, not only with the driver, but with the irons as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, the distance has been incredible. I think the driver getting way more ball speed, so a little shallower face design, getting more ball speed is driving the distance, and then having better fitting optimization of the different models. And then we have this new technology. It's called spinsistency. And that's where the roll radius from top to bottom is variable. So normally when you hit it thin with a driver, you're like, oh, it's going to spin and balloon on me. With the G430, it doesn't do it. So that is part of the added distance, because now those shots low on the face are going further. And we even do that a little bit high on the face so they don't get the ball that falls out of the air. So that's incredible. And then the irons are absolutely phenomenal. We actually were doing the G425 Pingman testing, and we took one of the badges out, put it on the Pingman, saw way more ball speed. So we actually, you know, kind of discovered by accident a little bit that our badge was stopping some of the face deflection. So the G430 iron has a badge that's kind of a living badge. And so it's very flexible. So we're getting a lot of ball speed. But the funnest part about the 7 more yards of distance you'll get with the G430 is that it also goes higher in the air. Okay, and that's something people don't talk a lot about with irons. Hey, it's further. Well, if it comes at the sacrifice of stopping power or your set gapping, that's not going to help you play better. And we actually mined our Arcos data of tens of millions of shots on the course to help us determine where golfers are hitting most of their shots. And we sliced up the G430 irons and put more clubs in the bag with tighter gaps where golfers are hitting the highest number of shots. So that's that connection of big data, design, and performance all weaving together to help golfers play their best.
So if you're going to play the new G430 iron, you better learn how to fix a ball mark, is what you're saying.
Exactly. They're going to be going far, and they're going to be coming in steep.
Marty Jertson, Vice President of Fitting and Performance, Ping Golf. Thanks much for being with us.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa. Ken Morton Jr. filling in for Scott Marsh. Kenny, this has been a great trip to Ping Golf. We have to do this again.
Yeah, for sure. They are introducing new products all the time, so I think we make another visit in just a few months.
We are with John K. Solheim. John is the president and CEO of Ping Golf. John, welcome to the show. You're a third generation member of this incredible family that was started by your grandfather, this company.
Yeah, well, welcome to Phoenix, and yes, third generation. A lot of fun being in a family business, also stressful at times, as I'm sure Ken is aware. So, but overall, yeah, I'd take it over any other career.
You know, we were talking earlier about the fact that that golf has become a glitzy business, a marketing business, and that's not a path that Ping walks down. You're a family of engineers. You only bring product out when you've actually made product better than the last version, and it's a family-run business. So how does it feel to be taking that kind of a path in today's market?
Yeah, I mean, I would say our glitz is like the gold putters, tournaments won, you know, drives going further than it, you know, long drives. I'd say we're performance-based. We never come up with, here's the marketing slogan, now let's develop a product to support that slogan. We have a product and then, you know, come up with, you know, how do we best message this and communicate what this product does for the golfers. So we get people, you know, the right product into the right people's hands and fit them into it and really help them play better golf. And I think at the end of the day, we end up with customers that are more happy with our product rather than going down the marketing approach. You know, Karsten was an engineer. I'm an engineer. My dad's, not a degree in engineering. Well, he probably is. He's got a lot of honorary degrees now. So he's probably more than me. He's probably got a doctorate in engineering now. But we all have, I would call, engineering minds and are very just like product focused in the way we think.
Kenny, we kind of alluded earlier to the fact that that Hagen Oaks and Morton Golf is a family-run business, as is Ping. Do you see similarities in the two companies and the way they're run?
Oh, without a doubt. They're John's dad and my dad have known each other and had an incredible relationship. And it's interesting, John Kay and I seem to have developed that same type of relationship with kind of a, in my case, second gen and his third gen. Their Ping is very, very unique in the golf business in that way. Golf over my career has gotten very corporate, and Ping still is family first. And anyone, as we've talked to everybody today, everyone says that first when you talked about being an employee of Ping. It's really unique.
John, as we walked into your office, your mission statement is outside the door there. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I didn't develop the mission statement. I think it's a great mission statement. It talks about, leading the industry and, product performance, quality, taking care of our employees. So really, it was my dad and my predecessor, Doug Hawken, who kind of came up with that. Is, I would say, one of the, we've been in business a long time and we've learned over a long time there's ups and downs in business. And I think that was, during one of the slower times when we were kind of refocusing, what is our mission? What are we here? What are we all about? And that was a great statement to just get us focused on the quality of our product, the performance of our product, the engineering, and then also our employees, and that, they matter more than our customers to us, and taking care of the employees is very important to us.
John, with the product kind of being the forward-facing part to the consumer, at the end of the day, they want to know that they're going to hit a farther or make more putts and all that kind of stuff. I always find it intriguing that you guys as owners and operators of Ping are still so heavily involved in the development of that product. It's another thing that makes Ping really unusual. I mean, I know your dad is down tinkering on putter designs, if not daily, weekly, and you oversee the team of engineers. How does that make Ping so unique in the golf business, with you guys being kind of more hands-on in that way?
Yeah, so I mean, I would say it definitely keeps us focused on, what we're looking for, the direction, how do we better satisfy the customer. I would say in the early days when it was Karsten, it was all Karsten, everything, the design, everything was him. And then my dad kind of evolved to letting more engineers. And then I ran engineering for 10 years. And I would say my big contribution there was getting more smart people, more enabling, empowering people to bring ideas to the table. So I would say we're far from all the ideas are not mine. They're not my dad's anymore. There's a lot of people coming up with ideas. I would say we're gatekeepers. Every once in a while I have an idea that I'll throw out there. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. So we're definitely plugged in because we're passionate about it. And we do occasionally have the good idea. And I would say we're good, I don't know what the right word is, reviewers of the design, and are able to see opportunities for improvement. So that's where I see, I've kind of learned that from my dad. He's very good at looking at a design and seeing how he can better optimize it and stuff that the designer missed. So kind of doing some of that myself.
We talked to a number of staffers here already today, and the one thing that seems to be prevalent in everyone is a pride in their job. I think a pride for the company, and a sense of professionalism, but not without a sense of humor as well. That's a lot to. I was going to say ask it of an employee, and I'm guessing you probably don't in that sense. But that's got to make you feel pretty good for the employees to kind of all feel that way about this company.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of passion for the company. I think we're at an advantage because we are in a sporting goods. It's almost, we kind of have our own team with players playing our product around the world. So there is something to go root for on the weekends. So I think that brings the employees together. And then just with all companies, when you've got a company that rewards its employees and takes care of its employees, they get very passionate about it. And I would say our best tool for hiring new employees are referrals from our current employees. So we take a lot of pride in, you know, the morale around here and try to make it as positive as possible, because we realize when the employees are happy, they build better products, they design better products, you know, everything kind of works a little better.
Carsten Solheim, certainly an icon in the business. Your dad has you know, cut his own path as well. How does that make you feel as kind of the third generation being in charge of
Should just
of
be
continuing
a layup
this.
For me, right? you know, so if you study like family businesses, the third generation is usually the one that kind of loses the business. So I guess early on I learned that, and it was like, okay, the, you know, the pressure's kind of on me. Now I'm going, you know what, I think the third's going to handle pretty good. I have no idea about the fourth. whether you see there's more and more of them. So it'll be interesting. But, I think we've been on a good path the last, you know, 5-10 years. So I'm excited to, you know, where the company will be when I'm stepping down, and, you know, what family members will be stepping up to run or manage, or, you know, what that'll look like. I don't know if it'll always be a family member in my chair or whatever, but I think the family will always be involved. And my goal is, you know, obviously to continue to be family run, but it gets harder and harder. And I don't know if I have a great answer, because I don't know the plan right now. I mean, the plan is to keep it family owned and figure out how we can best maintain the company to go on forever.
What's the best piece of advice you either got from your grandfather or your dad that you would pass on?
I don't know. There's a lot. If I just come into my head right now with Carsten, it was, you can get a whole lot of work done in a day. I mean, I was following him around. He was in his 70s, probably late 70s, and just tons of energy. And like, he would find a problem in the morning and he wouldn't go home until the problem, like, it was like this biblical sense, like you can't go to sleep with a problem or whatever. And so he would just work nonstop to resolve that issue. I don't remember him having any meetings, but just prolific in the amount of work that he got done in a day. And then my dad, I would say just attention to detail, how every little thing, whether it's in the product or in the process and manufacturing, big improvements can be made by little changes, I guess, would be that I've learned from him. And don't be satisfied with, like, I tend to, like, oh, there it is, it's good. And he's like, no, we can fix this, this, and this. And I've at first I hated that, and over the years I've learned the value and how that just brings more and more to the product and to the company.
You have certainly a lot of relationships with Greengrass, with retail stores and so on throughout the country. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Hagen Oaks.
Well, I was talking to his dad. One of our first accounts was like number 5 or something like that. So we're talking way back when Carsten founded the company. He was living in Redwood City, which I don't know my Northern California geography, but I think it's really close. And I would just say over the years, it's always been, I would say, a top account of ours as far as the service they offer their customers, the fitting process they go through. Just how they take care of their customers is how we like to take care of our customers. So I would say it's just a perfect match. Our business model matches perfect with the Hagen Oaks business model, and we've been successful together for many years and anticipate it continuing to go on and on.
Add anything, Kenny?
No, we just, like John said, we just can't mess it up for those that built it for us ahead of us.
Yeah.
John K. Solheim, President and CEO of Ping Golf, thanks so much for your hospitality. Thanks for letting us kind of talk to some of your staff today and taking the time to be with us today on the radio show.
Yeah, thanks for coming out and spending the day with us.
Kenny, this has been, as I said, a great trip, and I look forward to more of the same. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. We have wrapped up another show. Look for us next week, same time, same station. Go out and play the game. It's a lot of fun.